Open your Bibles to Mark chapter number 16. Mark chapter number 16, as we continue in our series that we've entitled The Way, and we've been talking about the fact that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and looking at the way that he's prepared for us and the path that he walked to prepare that way for us. And we spent some time talking about the way of suffering and reflecting on all that Jesus has done for us. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. Then Friday, we talked about the way of death and how he gave his life to pay the price for our sin. And man, I love Good Friday because we reflect on his sacrifice, but it feels so heavy when we leave that service because we've left Jesus there in the grave with the tomb sealed up. And it just feels like all hope is lost. But then we come to Sunday morning. And here we are in Mark chapter number 16. We're going to talk about the way of life today. We're going to read verse number 5 to start off with. It says, "And entering the tomb," it's a group of women here, "they saw a young man sitting on the right side dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him.'" Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that we can celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. And God, I want to begin this morning by praying for those who may be present or who may be watching online and they've not trusted Jesus to be their Savior. I pray that your Spirit would help them to understand what this is all about, why the resurrection is so important, why the crucifixion is so important. God, we've sinned. We've done wrong against you. And you've told us because of that, we deserve a punishment, spiritual death. But God, you love us. And you don't want anyone to suffer spiritual death. And that is why you gave your son, just like we just sang that song. You gave your son as a sacrifice to pay the price for us so that we can have everlasting life. And I pray that they would believe in Jesus today and find life everlasting. God, for Christians who are here, I pray that you'd help us to live in light of the resurrection, knowing that our Savior is alive, that ought to encourage us to live our lives for him. Work in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So some of you who are our guests, first time with us during this series, you're looking up at the screen saying, "The way," like, why is it the way? We've been talking about Star Wars all month long. So for all of our sci-fi people, like, you've had a really good time talking about Star Wars. For those of you that aren't Star Wars fans, you're like, what does the way have to do with Star Wars or anything else? There is a show, Star Wars show, that Disney has put out called The Mandalorian. And this group of people say over and over again, their phrase is, "This is the way." And I was watching that show and I was thinking, man, that reminds me of what Jesus said. Jesus said in John 14:6 that "I am the way." And so we've been talking about the fact that Jesus is the way, but having a little bit fun talking about Star Wars as well. And Friday, at our Good Friday service, we were talking about the death of some of our favorite Star Wars characters. And I got into a discussion afterward with Tanner, one of our young men who's coming, and we were talking about the one that kind of hit him was Qui-Gon Jinn, and that hit him pretty hard. And I told him, I said, he's not one of my favorite characters, but I found him very interesting. How many of you are like lean toward the villain side of things? Okay, just me? All right, a couple of you that will be honest. Yeah. So one of the villains is named Darth Maul, and he has a brief appearance in one of the movies, and he got like killed pretty quickly. I think he got chopped in half or something like that. Just what you wanted to hear on Easter, right? Some guy getting chopped in half. But Tanner was telling me afterward that he didn't die. That in the Clone Wars cartoon, which is Star Wars series, he comes back. He didn't actually die in that. And so that got me to thinking about, who was your favorite character that came back from death or apparent death in Star Wars. Anybody want to share with us? Maybe death or apparent death. Anybody have any thoughts about that? Character that came back. Some of you are like, I don't really watch Star Wars, so. Yeah, the Emperor. That was a fascinating story. Because last we saw him, he was throw down this shaft and screaming, oh, whatever he did. And then that was the end of him, right? And then that series was, that through trilogy was over. Turns out, no, he's alive. And he came back. One of the people that I thought was fascinating was Boba Fett. Boba Fett was a bounty hunter that... Remember in Return of the Jedi, he got thrown in the Sarlacc pit and he was going to be digested for 1,000 years of suffering. Well, it just came out with a TV show and he didn't die. He fought his way out of the Sarlacc pit and survived. He came back. You say, what does that have to do with anything? That leads us to our scripture today. Mark chapter number 16. Because we're going to talk about the way of life today. The way of life. And in Mark chapter number 16, we are introduced to some women here. In verse number 1, it says, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And if you aren't familiar with these women, I would encourage you to take some time and just kind of study who they are and their relationship with Christ and what he had done for them. But they decide that they're going to go and buy spices and anoint Jesus' body. Now, at this point, Jesus had already walked the way of suffering and the way of death. And we spent some time Friday, and I won't rehash all of it, Friday, talking about that way of death and all the beating and all the suffering and everything that he took for us. Now, if you have your communion there with you, it talks about the fact that his body was torn for us. And remember what Jesus said, talking about instituting the Lord's table communion. He said, every time that you take this, I want you to be reminded of my body that was broken for you. That was part of the way of suffering and death that Jesus walked for us. Let's remember his body that was torn together. Jesus also said, my blood is going to be shed for you. My blood is the price for your salvation. And he said, every time you take this cup, I want you to be reminded of my blood that was shed for you. Let's remember his blood that was shed. So he walked the way of suffering. He walked the way of death. And now these ladies are coming because of the events that had, how quickly they had unfolded over the last few days. They did not have the chance to anoint his body as they wanted to. So they're coming here to do just that. And verse number 2 tells us, and very early on the first day of the week when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And one of the things that I think is so fascinating about these women is, first of all, when a lot of people forsook Jesus, when a lot of people betrayed him and turned their back on him, these women stood faithful. And I'm so thankful for women who remain faithful to the Savior no matter what their spouse or anybody else does. You know, I think of my mom that always made sure that we were in church whether we wanted to be or not. And she continues to remain faithful to her Savior and to serve him. My mom has a lot of health issues and a lot of health problems. And she has not allowed those things to hold her back. And I think of many of you women, the faithfulness to God. And man, I'm so thankful for you. I appreciate you and what you mean to all of us as a congregation. But these women, they just love Jesus. And even though this person that they loved was gone, was dead, they decided, I want to get to the body as quickly as possible. We're not going to wait for later on in the afternoon. We're not going to sleep in. It was almost like they were just waiting for enough daylight so they could just get to him. I got to get to him. And we understand what that's like to lose somebody that we love and try to get that closure that maybe you can't get otherwise. But as early as they could, they made their way to where Jesus was. And it says in verse number 3, they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" Like, who's gonna open it up for us? Now, there's some people in here, you have some trouble opening some things. Any of you want to admit you have some trouble opening jars? All right, we've got some people have a hard time opening jars. I literally think that is one of the only reasons my wife keeps me around is to open jars. And I feel like every time my wife brings me a jar and I pop it open, like I want to tear my shirt open. Superman. Do you realize there are meals my family could not eat if it was not for me? Anything with a sauce, you're not eating it ever again. You want pickles? Nope, can't have them. And so they're talking among themselves. How are we gonna open it? Like, we want to anoint the body of our Savior. We want to have this time to mourn this person that we love. How are we going to open it? And it tells us in verse number 4, looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. And it gives us a little information. It was very large. In other words, there's no way these women were going to be able to do it. They're not going to be able to do it. But they look up, and I get the idea that they're just kind of conversing among themselves, and maybe they literally just talking about, hey, how are we going to do it? And maybe not really paying attention to what's out here, just kind of walking and talking, and then they look up in mid-conversation, and they can see it's open. Like somebody had rolled the stone away from the tomb. So verse 5, the entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. They're alarmed. And so they're making their way in there, and they see this guy, like, all in white. A little afraid. And I love the assurance that he gives to them that, hey, you don't have to be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. And man, I get so excited when I read this portion of Scripture. Because I think about what these women were there to do. They were there to mourn. They were there to kind of get some closure. They had lost hope. They were discouraged, probably brokenhearted, and we can just feel the heaviness because we've been there with people that we love. But they find something quite different than what they were expecting. Because when they were so discouraged, when they were so brokenhearted, they found hope. When they were expecting to find death, they found life. And here this angel speaks good news into their broken situation. And I don't know everything that you're going through this morning. I don't know what's going on in your life. And there may be some of you in here that your life is feeling hopeless right now. The situation you're in feels hopeless and you're overwhelmed with the circumstances around you. There may be relationships that have been broken. And when we look and we see the empty tomb and we understand that the Savior has risen, instead of that, we can find hope. Man, it was so hopeless. If Jesus can conquer the grave, he can conquer whatever situation is going on in your life. And whatever the hopeless situation is, he can speak hope into that. See, without Jesus' resurrection, we are of all men most miserable, Paul wrote to us. The resurrection is vitally important to our faith and what we believe. Without the resurrection of Jesus, we have no everlasting life. Yes, his body was broken. Yes, he bled. He paid the price for us, our redemption. But Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 17. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. See, when we talk about Jesus, we don't want to just stop at the cross. There's so much more to it than that. See, our debt was paid on the cross. He cried out when we talked about it Friday. It is finished. It's paid in full. And that's a wonderful thing, but the story doesn't stop there. The path does not stop with death. We need to walk the way of life, and it is his resurrection that makes it possible that we can have everlasting life. He rose again. The tomb is empty. He conquered sin. He conquered death. And because he is alive, you and I can have everlasting life. Remember what Jesus said in John 14, 6? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, true life can only be found in Jesus. There's nowhere else to find it. Listen, Beachside, I want you to come here. I'm glad that you have chosen to come here today. Beachside's not going to give you life. Only Jesus can do that. He's the only one. He is the only way. So you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus for salvation and find life today if you haven't done so already. And I think about what he did for us and how that no matter the situation that you are going through, that doesn't have to be the end. See, these women are walking to the tomb and that they're looking at, hey, this is over. This is done. He's dead, he's buried, he's gone. And then they come in and he's not there. He is alive. So whatever your situation, whatever you're facing, I want you to find hope today. And I want you to find life in what Jesus has done for us. And so Jesus walked the way of life. He wants us to walk it too. And we're gonna dive a little bit deeper into that next week. But in rising again from the dead, Jesus shows us that anything is possible through him. If you've been looking for hope, if you've been looking for help, if you've been looking for change, you've come to the right place. Because not even death can keep him down, which means there is nothing that he can't do in your life if you will come to him. In Mark chapter 16, verse number 5, it says, in entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Jesus rose for you. He conquered sin and death to give you everlasting life. Have you accepted his free gift of life? If not, today would be a great day to do that.